There are two nights that are noteworthy for surrounding the Lord Jesus. One of them is that Christmas night, that most powerful evening that brings us all together here on this Christmas Eve. A night of joy, a night of hope, a night of wonder, a night of celebration and worship and peace. An extraordinary night, a night about which the angels and the saints sing. A night about which we sing. We've written many a song about that very night. It came upon a midnight clear, oh, holy night. And here in just a little while, we will sing together that famous and wonderful silent night. That very first night that surrounded the Lord Jesus was extraordinary, special. An evening filled with hope and wonder and peace. The world-renowned historian Luke tells us something about that evening. Listen to these familiar words. There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shined all around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." But Luke wasn't the first one to write about this particular evening. The fact is, the sages from the ancient days had prophesied about it. In particular, we remember a great prophet named Isaiah, whose insight into things to come is honestly overwhelming. One of the most famous of the Christmas prophecies is found in chapter 7 of his great work. Here's what it says. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. A couple of chapters later, that same prophet also offered these words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And on the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end." The prophet Micah, at a different time and place, also speaks of this one who would come on that wonderful, blessed evening. "But you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth one who is to be the ruler whose coming forth is from of old, from the most ancient days." And indeed, the story of this one who would come on that marvelous evening does stretch back to the most ancient days of all. Indeed, the very first promise that we really see in the scriptures is found in a moment in the garden of God, where you had God Almighty confront Mary and Joseph because of their rebellion against him. But then he also, and most poignantly, confronted the serpent of old, the devil, the enemy of God, who teased and mocked and deceived Adam and Eve into their rebellion. God said to that ancient foe that there would be enmity, animosity, turmoil between him and between that first woman, Eve, and between her offspring and his. And God went on to say that one day, one of her offspring would crush the head of that serpent. And that serpent would bruise the heel of that offspring. And with those words, a promise unfolds that one day there would be one who would rise up and make all things new. Make all things to be right again. And we fast forward through the ages and we come to that first remarkable night in the life of Jesus. A night of wonder and joy and peace. Oh, the child, Jesus, is born. What great joy there is. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And yet, there is a second night in Jesus' life that is noteworthy. We fast forward nearly 40 years, and we come to this particular Friday in which this Lord Jesus, who had been born of the Virgin and lain in a manger, is crucified on a Roman cross. That same historian, Luke, who I referenced just a bit ago, offers these painful words to describe that particular dark day. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, Jesus breathed his last. And just like the prophets of old had told us that a child would come, so too the prophets of old would tell us of it, of the death of this one. Isaiah, the one who said that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a child whose name would be Emmanuel, goes on to tell us that Emmanuel is executed. As a matter of fact, that prophet Isaiah offers it this way. Listen carefully to these words found in Isaiah 53. He says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. He was cut off. He was executed out of the land of the living. It was the Lord's will to crush him and to put him to grief." The very first night that surrounds the Lord Jesus is a night of incredible joy. But that second notable night in Jesus' life finds all the joy giving way to complete heartbreak. The very first night of Jesus' life is a night filled with hope. But that second noteworthy night of Jesus' life finds that hope giving way to hate. The very first night of Jesus' life is filled with wonder and worship, where the crowds are clamoring to offer praise. But that second noteworthy night of Jesus' life is filled with worry, despair, fear, with the crowds clamoring, "Crucify him, crucify him." That very first night of Jesus' life was marked by life, new birth. That second notable night of Jesus' life was marked by the shedding of blood, execution, death. That first night of Jesus' life, no doubt, finds Mary with tears of joy, Mary, the mother of Jesus. But that second noteworthy night in Jesus' life finds Mary filled with tears of anguish. Devastated she would be. The simple reality is, the wonder of that first Christmas evening gave way to the trauma of the crucifixion Friday. The hope of the Christmas evening gave way to what appears to be a most woeful story. The simple reality is, Jesus had prophesied that that would be so. He had told his disciples that he would be betrayed and arrested and mocked and tried and whipped and crucified and killed. And if we stretch back to the most earliest of promises, where Jesus is spoken of by God, that offspring who would come and crush the serpent, God also said to the serpent, "You will bruise his heel." It is almost as if it were a race to see who would have the winning blow, the first winning blow. And it would appear that the enemy of God had won on that second fateful night. Jesus is crucified. He has died. Is that the end of the story? We discover it is, in fact, not. Because as if with some eternal plot twist, we see that this Jesus on that cross died joyfully. But we thought joy was only for the first remarkable night in Jesus' life. Can it be found in that second noteworthy night? Well, according to the writer of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, he says, "For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross and suffered its shame." Well, one wonders, why would he endure the cross? Why would he so joyfully do that? Except that he knew of an eternal purpose that motivated him. And that eternal purpose was your redemption and mine. That prophet Isaiah, who so painfully spoke of the death of this Emmanuel, this Savior. Well, within the prophetic poetry of Isaiah chapter 53, we not only see that that Savior would die, but we find out why. And so, listen to these words. These words are, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed." The scriptures go on and tells us this. "It was the Lord's will to crush him, to put him to grief, so that many may be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. He bore the sin of many to make intercession for transgressors." In other words, that second remarkable night that seems so cold and dark when all the hope and wonder has just disappeared and given way to hate and fear and death, that second remarkable night had as its great eternal purpose your salvation and mine. Jesus was born on that first remarkable night so he could die on that second remarkable night, so the darkness of your hearts and mine would give way to the redemptive light of Christ, so we could be made whole and new and restored in our fellowship to the one who loves us the most, who is the living God of heaven and earth. You see, with his death on a cross on that last fateful night, Jesus purchased for you, he bought for you your salvation. He bought for you movement from shame to honor, movement from filth to purity, movement from fear to power, movement from condemnation to forgiveness. Dear friend, this is the Christmas story. This is why we celebrate as we do tonight. Because Jesus was born to die so that you and I could be made free. His death being that which completely satisfies God so that our sins might be forgiven and we could be restored in relationship to our Creator who loves us. Some of you are here on this Christmas Eve and you've never heard that story before. You didn't know that Christmas was about more than just that one wonderful night, but it was also about a painful night that would come later. And you're hearing, perhaps for the first time, that this Jesus died on a cross for you, so you could be free and forgiven and have hope and wonder could be infused into your soul and an eternal purpose could fall upon you that would change you forever. Tonight is an opportunity for you. An opportunity for you to call on this Jesus. You see, God says that he demonstrates his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the scriptures also tell us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to invite you to do something. I'm going to pray right now. Before we sing here to wrap up our time together, like some present that would be placed under the tree, before we sing, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to use words that you might decide could be your words regarding your own soul. And I'd encourage you to capture those and to genuinely enter in to what is said as if it were the cry of your own heart to God, who wants to meet you on this Christmas Eve, who wants to reveal to you that this Jesus is your Savior. Would you pray with me now? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that there are two extraordinary nights in Jesus' life. The first one, in which he was born of a virgin named Mary and laying in a manger, God Almighty breaking in to human flesh. And then that second one, in which he was hung on a Roman cross to satisfy the just demands of a holy God so that the penalty of sin that we all bear could be completely forgiven us. I'm finding out tonight that I'm a sinful person, a broken person for whom shame is so real. But I'm hearing tonight that this Jesus came to take care of all that for me. And I'm hearing that if I cry out to him, believing him, and just telling him my need for a Savior, and choosing to trust him with my whole life, that I will be forgiven, that I will be, well, saved. And I'm hearing tonight that that salvation means that I would be in a new relationship with you, God, restored, free, that my shame would give way to hope. My fear could be met with power. My filth would go away, and I'd be as white as the driven snow in a Minnesota blizzard. And that all the condemnation that I feel so deeply would disappear, and forgiveness would come upon me. I want this Jesus and his death to be applied to my life. And so this night I say, I believe in him. I call on him. And I declare him my Savior and Master. And I will follow him as his disciple all of my days. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me and sending Jesus to die in my stead and to be my Savior. And all of God's people said, amen.